I was doing it as a 40-day discipline. A lot of spiritual practices are 40 days. And I was doing Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha for 40 days. And that is actually the chant to remove obstacles, is what Debbie was just chanting, the chant to remove obstacles. And what I discovered was the only way for obstacles to be removed is you've got to see them first. You know, I started thinking, well, I'm going to chant Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha every day, and God's going to go, obstacle, 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 obstacle. No, I started chanting it and went, obstacle, 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 obstacle. But the thing was, the obstacles were already there. I just didn't see them. Now, whether it was chanting these arcane words that did it or it was my intention, I always think it's as much my intention, because when I'm chanting, I'm thinking, let me break down my obstacles. And that is a perfect segue into what I want to talk to you about this morning. And that is, I'm letting you know that for 6 weeks, not next weekend, but the following weekend, I'm going to talk about a book. I'm not going to talk about a book I have written. I'm going to talk about a book that I have talked about before. And in fact, as I've thought about it, that I can remember in the last 5, 6 plus years, it is the only book other than my own that I have taught. And this will probably be the 5th time I've taught it. The reason I'm doing this is not because I'm lazy. It's because it's the book that has had the most profound impact on my own personal life. And I got a call about 6 months ago from a very good friend. I don't see her very often. And she said, oh, I got all this going on in my life. I've got all this conflict going on in my life. I'm not getting along at work. I've got all these issues. What can I do? Now, I've written a book on relationships. I've written a book on happiness. I recommended this book to her. And she said, after she read it and applied some of the principles, she went, whoa, my gosh, everything has changed. It's miraculous. It's not easy, but it's worked. I had another friend who was complaining about never having enough money and about issues to that end, always being in debt, always having more month at the end of the money, right? So I recommended, again, the same book. And this person said this book transformed their life. So if I haven't given it adequate setup now, the book I'm talking about is The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity by Edwin Gaines, who is now my adopted mother. Edwin Gaines is a very colorful woman. She's from Alabama, and she talks like it. And I love talking to her because I'm from South Carolina. I really do feel like I'm talking to my mama when I talk to Edwin. Edwin Gaines is a woman who studied under Catherine Ponder. Now, many of you probably have never heard of Catherine Ponder. People who are into prosperity and that kind of thing, the secret and everything, they've heard of Catherine Ponder because she studied directly under Charles Fillmore, who was the founder of the Unity Movement. If you've heard of Unity, you've seen them, the big buildings out there on 350 Highway, that's Unity, okay? Charles Fillmore began that. He wrote the book Prosperity, which, how many of y'all are familiar with The Secret, the movie The Secret, the book The Secret, okay? If you read the book, there are tons of quotes in there from Charles Fillmore. They didn't quote him in the movie because he's dead, so it didn't make a lot of sense. But this is the lineage that I'm talking about. Charles Fillmore, Catherine Ponder, Edwin Gaines. Edwin Gaines was a very poor single mother working two jobs with two children. And she said, there's got to be a way out of this. And she started reading and studying prosperity and applying things. And her life just completely turned around. Edwin is 75. She'd shoot me for telling you that. Edwin still speaks on average, what did she tell me recently, 120 times a year travels around. Because Edwin says that her goal is to raise the prosperity consciousness of the world. So, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, when we talk about prosperity, many of you already know, we're not just talking about money. But this is the first thing we've got to talk about, okay? Ed Wein defines prosperity as, anybody want to jump in? Many of you know this. There's four things. Who said health? Good. That's exactly right. A vitally alive, healthy body to support the spiritual beings that we are. We're spiritual beings. The body should be healthy and alive and vibrant. That's number one. And she actually puts that number one. Anyway, two. Yeah. Relationships that work all the time. This is the one where I'm going to have to go, come on, Ed Wein. What I will say is that she gives you the tools so that you can clean the glass that you look through if you constantly look at it, so that you can begin to see people more and more purely and the relationships become that way. It's a practice, but that's absolutely true. So a healthy body, relationships that work all the time. Work what? Loving what you do. A job that is so much fun. It's not a job, it's play. It's play. I had a friend when I was selling radio who used to tell everybody how much he loved selling radio, and he was the top salesperson, and we were both doing really well, top market, top everything, top stations, everything like that. And he would always brag about to all his clients how much he loved his job. And I said, Charlie, what would you do if you won the lottery? He said, I'd stand up, poop on my desk, and walk out of here. And I thought then, dude, you don't love your job. Of course, he didn't use the word poop, but that's okay. The point is, there are people who do what they don't like for money. And it's illegal almost everywhere in the United States. If you're doing something you don't like for money, you're selling yourself. So that's three. What's the fourth one? Money! Money! I love the old Warren Zevon song. Send lawyers, guns, and money. We'll solve this. We have hang-ups about money. We have huge hang-ups about money. Raise your hand if you're over the age of 18 and you've bought a lottery ticket in the last year. Raise your hand. Any form of lottery ticket. Raise your hand. Look around. Now tell me honestly, and it's okay, why'd you buy it? To win! Absolutely to win. I go in and I go, I'm just driving up the stakes for whoever does win. I don't care. That's what a noble liar I am inside. The truth of it is, I want to win, right? We're sold this idea that if we win the lottery, and the lottery commission deliberately sells you this idea, and so do the casinos, and so does anyone who's trying to sell you something. They sell you the idea that if you do this, you're going to be happy, thin, well-loved, and have great hair, and you'll never age. It's all a lie. We're being sold a lie. It's been said that the lottery is a tax on people who are poor at math. And if we would just take that same money and do something with it. So, on the one hand, we're sold money will solve all your problems, okay? That's the one hand. On the other hand, think of rich people's portrayals in culture. Let me share some. Ebenezer Scrooge. Evil, evil, evil. Ebenezer Scrooge. Or how about a buffoon? Oh, I don't know. Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island. Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies. Oh, wait a minute, there's another one comes to mind. J.R. Ewing from Dallas. What was he? Evil. So rich people are either evil or stupid. Come on now, it's true. And why do we want them evil and stupid? Because it makes them a them and us an us. And as long as there's a them and an us, our ego goes, I'm never going to want to be up there. I'm never going to want to be a rich person. What do you think of when you think of a rich person?
Was it Rockefeller? Did he insist on tithing 20% of
Rockefeller, that's exactly right. Yeah, Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller tithed 20%, and he also said that he would not have been able to tithe $1 billion 1 year had he not tithed off his first paycheck, which was $15. And we'll talk a lot about tithing, but it is amazing that most really wealthy people tithe. And that's the point, okay? Here's the point about money. Pearl Bailey, the great jazz singer, said, "I've been broke and I've been rich, and honey, rich is better." But Ray Kroc, when he took McDonald's public and became the richest man in the world for several years, said, "I can only wear one pair of shoes at a time." For me, rich was a Rolex watch. And as many of y'all know, I dreamed of it for years. I had it for a half decade, and then I felt guided by God to give it away, and I did. Just gave it away. And I replaced it with something a lot more important, a prayer practice that stays on my wrist. We want to be rich, so we buy lottery tickets, we do quick get-rich schemes, etc., and yet bubbling beneath the surface is rich people are bad and rich people are buffoons. I would invite you to go meet some rich people. By your definition, what you would call rich, because I heard Chris Rock say that rich is relative. He said that everybody wants Oprah's money, but if Bill Gates woke up one morning and discovered he only had Oprah's money, he'd jump out of a window. But go talk to some people you consider rich, and what you'll find is they're rich because they're rich. In most cases, they're rich in every way, and they draw richness to them. There's no way we can be like something we abhor, you know? Timothy 6:10. Money is the... Everybody, come on, you all know it? One more time. Money is the... Money is the root of all evil. Anybody ever preach that one at you? I got it when I was a kid. Money is the root of all evil. I have a basic thing. If somebody's going to preach something to me from the Bible, they should first read it, because it says in various translations, the love of money is the root of all evil. In another translation, it says the lack of money is the root of all evil, and sociologists would agree with that. And in another one, it says the want of money is the root of all evil. See, here's the point, and this is why I was talking about having money, not having money, having Rolexes, not having Rolexes. I like to think of a baking tray like you'd bake cookies on, okay? And you put water on there, and it's a very light coating of water, okay? And that coating is the money that's in the world, okay? If you follow your dream, you follow your passion, you find a way to serve people like nobody else, what's going to happen is, if you're in a corner, that pan is going to go like this, and a lot of it's going to go here, right? So you get a lot of money. You should then turn around and tip the pan the other way. Andrew Carnegie, richest man on the planet in the 1920s, set a goal, making money the first half of his life, giving it away the last half of his life. That's why there's Carnegie Mellon, the Carnegie Institute. Look at what Bill Gates is doing. One of the greatest things we can do by making a lot of money is finding things that are important to us to give it away. And that's what most wealthy people are doing. I mentioned that Ed Wein talks a lot about tithing. Marty and Star, would y'all come up here for a second? One of the things that we practice here is tithing. We tithe on everything that comes in. Look at the books, would you? And so we got together and we said, who has spiritually fed us? And we decided, me, Alex, Marty, and Star, that you all feed our spirit every week by seeing you here. And so what we have done is we have taken some of the proceeds that come in and we have bought copies of Edwin's book for every one of you. So we would like to give that to you by saying thank you for blessing our spirit. So go ahead and distribute those books if you would, please. I'm sorry? You get a book! You get a book! You get a book! If Oprah was a bald white guy. Now, let me tell you something. Henry David Thoreau said, how many a man, meaning human beings, how many a man has marked the change of his life from the day he read a book? This book does not work osmotically. You can't put it under your pillow. You've got to read it. And I will make you the same suggestion people always say to me. How do I get my husband to read your book, your complaint-free world book? It's real easy. Take everything out of the bathroom except my book, and he will read it. So, look, I'm all about practicality. So take everything out of your bathroom except this book and read it, and it absolutely will change your life. It's amazing the simple things that we can do. Not easy, but simple. And it's a practice to change our lives. I will tell you, because understandably, a lot of us admire Marty and what she's been able to do here. Half the time I walk into the bathroom, I can hear Marty listening to Edwin Gaines, a recorded version of her book. So a lot of what you're seeing is the prosperity that's a demonstration and a manifestation of what we've learned. Wouldn't you agree, Marty, from Edwin? And we're sharing this with you because we want you to have it. We want you to have it. We want you to have that vitally alive, healthy body. We want you to have relationships that work all the time. We want you to have all the money you want to spend and a job so much you love. It's play. It's play. Anybody want to guess what Marty's doing at home when she's not doing yoga? Yoga. She's doing yoga or she's reading about it because she loves it. And everybody's got something like that. And if you'll hang with me for this next 6 weeks, not starting next weekend, but the following, we're going to cover every area and you'll have every tool you need. Okay? And again, thank you for being part of our community and thank you for blessing us so much. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for the transformative power of the written word, the ability to convey so much in such a concise and intimate way. We give thanks for the relationships that each person here is going to establish with Edwin as a writer and as a person and as an inspiration. And we look forward to the transformations that are going to take place in this community and in these lives. And we give thanks for the positive ripples that they will spread out into the world. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.